Before we get started, a special thank you is in order to our friends over at Stanley Customs. Stanley Customs creates amazing custom sports figurines for all you athletes out there. Right now, our listeners will get 15% off their order, and all interviewees will get 25% off their order simply by going to Stanley_Customs on Instagram and telling them that Globally Ballin sent you. Thank you. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Globally Ballin podcast, a product of the Globally Ballin podcast network. We have a fantastic interview for you today, so sit back and enjoy, and thank you all for joining us one more time. Here's the music. I gotta let you go. Finish the game with a broken hand.
Yeah, finish the game with...
I'm Rio 2016 silver medalist and Asian Games 2018 gold medalist.
Young man, how do you use a celebrity for good? You know, up until that point, most of us as athletes were taught on it, use the celebrity to manipulate, to get a girl, to get famous, to get whatever it is.
We're hours away from kind of the nearest hospital. He ended up losing his leg over.
I don't think a lot of people know the opportunities there are actually to play overseas, especially in the women's category.
Actually broke my neck. I was paralyzed from the waist down, and I was never supposed to walk again, much less be able to play football again.
Had a couple guys get robbed at gunpoint, and one of them was just like, "Jay, get me out."
At the same time, there are some who would still keep their 9-to-5 jobs because the pay for being an athlete isn't enough.
Don't complain when we look like idiots abroad in these big tournaments.
What league or country gave you the best pay contract-wise?
Probably Turkey, my last season.
Okay. In today's episode, we revisit a sport that has either the most presence in international leagues or maybe second to soccer, a popular one that we've covered several times, but also very often requested, and that is basketball. And we're going to be doing this in a completely different country, that country being Thailand. This episode is one of two covering basketball in Thailand. Next week's episode will also be, again, basketball in Thailand. Today, our interview is with Chris Dalio. He is the head men's basketball coach of the Thailand basketball team and the professional team at Thailand High Tech. He's currently in the Philippines coaching or preparing to coach here for the SEA Games. And so he gives us a great discussion on what basketball looks like in Thailand, as well as some key insight as to what he looks for when he's looking for players. Who does he talk to? What kind of things does he expect to hear from the people he talks with? What are some of the big red flags when he's looking for players? And all sorts of things like that. He also is going to talk about a kind of a wind of change when it comes to the type of players that are being called over to Thailand and other Asian leagues, something I've never heard before, but Chris is very confident and expands all into it and gives great detail on what's happening and why it's happening, and so that's a very interesting angle. Thinking back, I actually think Chris is our first full-time coach. We've had team owners that have kind of coached here and there, a lot of players and an agent, but I think Chris will be our first full-fledged, completely being interviewed because he's a coach. And so that's going to open up a world of insight that we haven't covered before. The world of basketball through the eyes of a coach, something we have not heard yet. Those of you looking to play basketball overseas, maybe if you're in high school now or in college or younger, maybe middle school, whatever, however old you are, Chris is going to give you really good insight on what it looks like to be a player, what it looks like to be a player that he would want playing for him in Thailand, some things that he looks out for and some things he wants and doesn't want, and what things you could do that could get you excused from the league and essentially blacklisted from coming back. So not only is this a good reminder that this is a career when you're out there and you need to do the very best you can every day, but he'll also give you tips on what to make sure you don't do while you're there, because it could lead to you not only being excused but blacklisted and not being asked to come back, which is going to obviously significantly affect the money you make in your career. So thank you all for coming back and visiting for another episode. Sit back and enjoy the interview with Chris Dalio, head coach of the men's Thailand basketball team and the team High Tech in Thailand. Thank you.
Hey everybody, this episode is brought to you by an additional sponsor. We are now also brought to you by Creating Young Minds. Creating Young Minds is a nonprofit out of Lewisville, Texas, right outside of Dallas. You may remember we've had an episode in the past with the founders of Creating Young Minds, Dr. Shira Ackerman and Coach Mathis Crowder. Creating Young Minds strives to help young men achieve success in their life where they may not have otherwise achieved that success. One way they do this is through their new basketball team. The Lewisville Yellow Jackets, affiliated with Creating Young Minds, play in TBL, the basketball league, and through a combination of their nonprofit as well as their basketball team, Creating Young Minds and the Lewisville Yellow Jackets are doing their best to bring the European model of basketball to the United States. That is Creating Young Minds. You can find them on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, basically everywhere. Find Creating Young Minds, check them out, see what they're all about. And when the TBL league rolls around once again, keep an eye out for the Lewisville Yellow Jackets. Thank you.
Hello, Chris. How are you? This is Aaron.
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for taking a little bit of time to talk with me.
Oh, no problem at all.
So what we do is we have done podcast episodes with coaches, players, league directors all over the world, basically just getting an idea of what opportunities are out there and what certain sports look like in certain countries. And so for this one, we're going to kind of use you to get a picture of what basketball looks like where you're at. So why don't you go ahead and to begin, kind of just introduce, say who you are and what you do.
Well, my name is Chris Dalio, and I coach the High Tech professional basketball team in Thailand, and I'm currently the national team coach of the Thailand men's team, preparing to go to the Southeast Asia Games, which will be held in Manila, Philippines, the first 2 weeks of December.
Awesome, yeah. So going into that, how has Thailand looked in the past with the SEA Games as far as competition with the teams you'll face?
Well, the Philippines is extremely strong. The Southeast Asia Games happen every 2 years. Two years ago, I was not the coach at the time. I coached the women's national team. We won a silver 2 years ago. The men's team won a bronze. So they moved me over to the men's team this year. And so we're hoping to improve upon the bronze status that we had 2 years ago.
Is there any sort of insight guess? I'm sure you don't waste your time with too much of that, but have you heard anything about is the Philippines favorite just being higher and being the host team, or do you not focus on that whatsoever?
Social media gives us a lot of information, but you know, I have friends who coach in the Southeast Asia Games in Vietnam, also in Indonesia. You hear things. There's always information passed back and forth. So yeah, certainly you want to know. In our pool, it's Indonesia, Cambodia, and Malaysia. And then the other pool is Vietnam, Philippines, and Myanmar. So you kind of want to make sure how your pool's doing, what they're up to, who they're playing, how they're playing. And then certainly you watch film on the other teams, just like you would be scouting any opponent.
Absolutely.
So, the entire world, or certainly the people in this region, this is their Olympic. You know, there's a lot at stake here.
Talking specifically about kind of that region, the Southeast Asian region, I want to get into that a little bit. We've done a lot of work with people from the Philippines, and it's very clear that basketball is sport number one in the Philippines. Nobody, even the athletes we interview there that don't play basketball are the first ones to tell you that basketball comes first. And so looking at Thailand, what does popularity look like for the different sports?
I think, you know, soccer is probably the number one sport here, just like it is throughout so many countries. I'm not sure what comes second or third or fourth. Basketball certainly is growing in popularity. I mean, my players, the players on my High Tech teams, they have, shoe deals, and, you know, they're on some billboards advertising for their shoes, and our games are televised. But is it the number one sport? I think soccer is.
So you still have that first sport, but basketball certainly not being overlooked, at least you'd agree with.
Right. You know, in some parts of the country, it's stronger than in others, but I think it's starting to grow into other parts of the country. You know, right here in Bangkok, obviously it's bigger than some of the outskirts. You know, it's like anything else, it's growing, and more players are playing, and team owners and team managers are out looking into the outskirts now for more and more players. It's just a steady growth.
So I want to take it back a little bit here. What brought you to where you are today coaching the national team in Bangkok? If we can go back however far you can and kind of bring us, put the pieces together that brought you to where you are.
Well, I was coaching the United States, and I had from my days in the Continental Basketball Association, you get to know players or whatever, and I had a couple players that played for me in the past that played out here in Thailand, and, you know, I was currently looking for a position, and they recommended me for a job here. This was 3 years ago, and I got the job and been out here ever since. I've been fortunate with High Tech because it's one of the stronger franchises in Thailand. We've won 5 championships here since I've been here in my 3 years, and now being named national coach, I'm gathering strength in the region and becoming recognizable more in the region, and that's all good things. A positive showing at the SEA Games will certainly help catapult me into other things as well.
So you went straight from CBA to Thailand?
Oh, no. When the CBA closed its doors to become the G League, I coached some other minor league teams that were lower than the G League. I was looking to get in the G League. It didn't happen right away. And then this opportunity, I was assistant coach at a college, and then this opportunity arose. So that's kind of been the stepping stones for me. So
one of the
this is my true first time overseas. I've been a little bit in Greece. I've been a little bit in Korea, but this is really my first time truly coaching as a head coach overseas.
And how do you like it? And just generally, how do you enjoy the time completely in a different world? I've been in that side of the world several times, and what, you like it? You all for it?
Well, you know, you have to work. You know, this is your chosen profession, and there's bills at home, first of all. I mean, from the financial standpoint, you know, you got to keep working. And on the secondary front, you know, being someplace else, you know, it does have its challenges. You got to bend a lot. You can't break, but you got to bend a lot when it comes to certain things, you know, that you certainly don't have in the States, you know, whether it be, you know, your eating or your different habits of, you know, getting around or socializing. All those things certainly do change. Dealing with players is a little bit different because sometimes there's a language barrier and certain customs that they have about how they do things. You know, it certainly could be different than what you're used to. So you have to be successful. There's pressure because you have to win, just like anything else. But so I have found that you can bend a lot, but not break. You got to be overly communicative with your owners. I may do things differently defensively or offensively that they're used to, and I've been lucky enough to have success here, so I get kind of a long leash.
I see, and that stands to reason a bit. So I am one of the really important things that we like to do is give an idea of to athletes of all sports, men, women, an idea of what it might be like to be in a certain area that we're interviewing about. So as far as Thailand goes, do you have it? First of all, are imports allowed in the league?
Yes. The year is 365 days, and out of that 365 days here in Thailand, your year is broken down into 3 separate seasons. The Thailand Open League, which is all locals. Then there's the Thailand Super League, which is 2 imports, and that brings in teams from other parts of the region, Philippines, China, and that sort of thing. They're playing in like the Super League. And then there's the Thailand League, which is their quote-unquote NBA league, and that is 2 imports as well. So I've had, over my 3 years here, 12 to 15 imports that have come through here. Some of them I've had repeat. Some of them I've gotten rid of and cut midstream. So I have, to answer your question, yes, I have had import.
Now, this is a little bit different when we're talking to a coach because I know you got certain lines you can't really cross as far as things you can say. But a lot of these players, the ones from Thailand, get second jobs or not necessarily? Or the money that they make from their league, is that enough for the most part?
This is their sole means of employment. It varies from team to team. Some teams have more money than others here. But our imports, usually run anywhere between $4,000 and $6,000 a month, $4,000 or $6,000 per month, maybe a little bit less depending on experience. If I bring in a former NBA player, it commands a little bit more. So, but usually on an average, it's between $4,000 and $6,000, and that's kind of been the range. But this is their sole job.
Sure.
You know, is to play basketball.
And does it put that kind of money, $4,000 to $6,000, does that put the league on the higher end as far as Southeast Asia?
Well, I believe, you know, for the most part, China will probably play a little bit more. Philippines probably pay a little bit more. Vietnam will pay less. Indonesia will play less, generally. You know, generally. I'm trying to think of any other countries that really that come in here and compete. I may be forgetting, but that kind of gives you an idea. I mean, High Tech has been a winning program, a good organization that pays on time, takes care of the players. So I have a multitude of players that want to come when it comes time to start signing imports. So that's been good. For American players that are listening to your show right now, the biggest thing that haunts Americans as they come over is they come over out of shape and then they get sent home. They come over here thinking it's a vacation and all they want to do is hang out and party. They get sent home. You know, Bangkok, the cost of living is cheap, and if you know, you can find mischief anywhere you go. Here, sometimes guys can't keep it in perspective, and they disrespect the game, they disrespect the organization, and really they disrespect themselves, and they get sent home. So those are the biggest obstacles that I have when I bring over. If I can't bring over an American that I trust or that comes from a good recommendation or is not a professional, they don't last here. And that's really what happens.
And that's excellent insight, because that's a lot of players won't even consider that. And they do get excited about playing overseas, which is awesome. But I think maybe, and you could probably speak to that more, is maybe forget that this is their job and they need to really lock it in and remember that, yes, they're traveling and having fun, but they are here to play basketball and provide wins for a team.
Oh, absolutely. You know, guys come over smoking way too much weed. Some of my Americans, that's been a huge, huge thing. And then going out at night and partying, that's the big as well. You know, there's eyes everywhere. Management watches things. You know, if you can keep things separate and still win on the basketball court and still go out, that's one thing. But guys who are professional guys, and they'll let that carry over, and that really hurts. And that's why a lot of countries in this region are now going towards European players European coaches. So you're starting to see that more and more and more, because, you know, the Americans that have come over have burned overall, you know, you hate to overgeneralize, but sure, a lot of Americans have come over and burned bridges. And they don't understand that. Not only are they representing themselves, but they're representing the entire country of players. So you're starting to see, you know, and coaches the same way. They come over here and don't win or don't take it serious or, you know, party too much. And, you know, I look at it as my financial means to, did I have to win to move on to the next thing? You know, I got to pay my bills. But some guys, you know, that's furthest from their mind. I know there's a team, our arch rival in our league, they fired their American coach and they brought in a guy from Slovenia. And this is the first time a European coach has ever been in Thailand. Usually they're American or they're Philippine.
Is this the vampire?
The first time for that. Yeah, so now you're starting to see that. And, you know, European guys, in their mind, they're working harder, they're hungrier, they come make less financial demand, and you're starting to see a slow turn into that out in this region.
Do you think the rolling can be stopped from this change by American players and coaches, or do you think it's already moving quite rapidly to the point where it's going to continue?
Well, I think, you know, American players had it, American coaches had it, and they chose other avenues in which made it easier to lose it. It just makes it harder. I mean, basketball is a global sport. Now with the internet, you can talk to anybody, you know, whether sitting in a hut in Peru, let's say, and yeah, go to New York City, talk to anybody about anything. And so that's been my biggest pet peeve, is these guys that come over, you have faith in them, and you need your Americans to play well, to help you get wins, to put, you know, food on your table, and all they I don't want to overgeneralize because I've had great Americans as well.
Yeah.
But I've had some that just party, and become sloppy, and that's hurt. That hurt.
When these contracts are drawn up, is it very clear that it's day to day, or is there some sort of breach in their contract by partying or doing whatever inappropriately that leads them to leaving, or is it more of a day to day look?
Well, it's not in the contract. You know, they sign a contract to come over. We fly them over. I talk to the player, obviously, beforehand, and I tell him, you know, this is what's expected. I am blessed with good locals here. My local Thailand players are good players. So we win. And I think a lot of that is, you know, when you're winning ball games, things loosen up a little bit. But, you know, over the course of time, as you become more and more familiar with your surroundings and familiar with other people and hangers-on come by, you know, players sometimes, we call it falling down the rabbit hole. You know, they fall down the rabbit hole where, you know, your outside activity become more prevalent than your basketball activity. Other players can keep it in perspective. But for me, that's, you know, I've always asked, you know, players or people that recommend players, you know, what's his work ethic like? You know, is he smoking any weed? Good guy with locals? You know, I know, professional guy. You know, if there's any red flags that I get, although I've been burned too, but if there's any red flags that I get from the recommendation people, then, you know, I try to steer away from. And I try to hire the same guys back who have won for me and done good things. But sometimes they go to different places or get offered more money some other places or whatever. So, you know, you got to kind of do your research.
So if you could, if you had to pitch the league to a player who wasn't familiar, what would you point out as some of the strengths when it comes to basketball in Thailand that they may not be familiar with?
I mean, I can tell you just from my tech, and I tell this to the players that want to come in, is, you know, you're going to win your ball games, you're going to get paid on time, you're going to be taken care of. All you got to do is work hard, do extra work, be respectful of the locals, and everything will be taken care of. And then you can use this as a springboard try to get into other areas throughout the region. And that, as far as high tech is concerned, that's where I come from. You're going to get paid on time. You're going to be taken care of, you know, with your housing and all that stuff. That's been good. You're coming here to play basketball. Play basketball, be good with the locals, and everything is done. It's a smooth sailing ship. It's just when people deviate from that is when you get problems.
So people listening might hear, well, pay on time. Of course I'm going to get paid on time. But at least looking at high tech, paying on time is not always something that will happen around the world, is it?
Oh, no. No, that's one of the first things that's the selling point is we pay on time.
Yeah.
There are a lot of teams that will not. There are a lot of teams that will not pay at all at times. So when you know you're going to get your money, what you signed for, that's big. You always, for players that are getting offers to go someplace else, you always want to research what kind of organization is that. You know, do they have a good organization, a reputable organization, or organization that's somewhat of a shady, you know, past when it comes to things. And those are things to think about. So.
Are there any looming negatives of your league that you've had to overcome, or maybe some dark cloud that's been over the league, or not really?
No, I mean, I've been relatively happy here. Other coaches that have come to Thailand, they don't last. I've been able to last. I'm in my third year, which is long, but I've won. We've won five championships, and we've developed our locals to be a strong local unit. But then again, I worked at it. You know, I don't go out. You know, I watch my film. I do extra work with my players. You know, I stay dedicated to my craft. You know, other guys, you know, that they come out here and that's not always necessarily the case, but I can't worry about them. I take care of myself. So for me, Thailand's been nice.
And so I guess finally, for anybody who is playing or is interested now in Thailand because of what they heard, what's their best way to kind of get their name out to a specific, like if they targeted an area and said, you know what, I want to play in Thailand now, or I want to at least have that option, what's their best way to do that?
Well, you know, I get, on my Facebook, certainly I get millions of, well, I shouldn't say millions. I get a lot of requests about people asking information or when you're signing players or when you're doing things, you know, and it depends upon timing is everything, and connections is everything. Who are you connected with? Like even with this job, if I didn't have my former players that went to bat for me with management, I wouldn't have gotten this job. The players that I go to sign, You know, usually they're recommended by somebody that I know. They say, this guy's got some dog in him. This is your type of player. This is your type of guy, you know, for players that I sign. It's connections, it's connections, it's connections, timing. And you got to stay diligent. You know, just sending film randomly is not going to get it done. Or pick guys, send me videos of them playing on some blacktop somewhere, shoot the jumpers. That's not going to get it done. You got to get reputable recommendations from reputable people, and then hope for a break. You know, hope to be seen, hope for a break, and that's the way it's done. But you, as you know, you get all kinds of people asking about broadening the play or whatever, and
oh, yeah.
They really have no answer, no clue.
Yeah,
and that's kind of the way it works. But Facebook has been big, marketing on Facebook, LinkedIn a little bit too, and you just got to stay on it. I mean, really, if you know people that have played overseas, get to know those people if you can, and they can recommend you, because you just never know. That player that's playing overseas, the point guard goes down with an injury, or the big goes down with an injury, that player that's playing in that team, they're going to listen to that guy to say who to bring in our replacement, and that might get your foot in the door.
Awesome. I appreciate it. Good luck on the upcoming C games.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
No problem. I appreciate it. Thank you. It was nice getting an episode from a coach, something, like I said in the beginning, we haven't had before. I think Chris was very helpful, gave us some great looks at things that he looks for and things he looks out for when it comes to a player. I've never heard, and again, I'm kind of breaking into it, I've never heard anything about the whole Asian leagues moving away from American players because of some of the choices they've made. And I guess it makes sense. At least in the way he described it. But that's so interesting that something like that can happen, and not only that your decisions can affect your future in the career, but how your decisions can affect other people like you, like an American athlete in Thailand making poor choices and not prioritizing basketball high enough and doing things that he shouldn't, not only could affect his career, but could also significantly damage the chances of other Americans in going to Thailand, or either similar leagues that maybe communicate with a Thai league a lot more, or for whatever reason are connected with that league and don't want to make the same mistakes that anybody in Thailand did, by potentially because they see hiring an American athlete as an issue because of that one situation. You know, the more we interview, especially not exactly like Olympians like we've done in the past, but when we do people like playing soccer, American football, basketball, and some of the other ones too, but the ones where they're getting paid and this is their job, it's really important to remember that it's your job to go over there and play, and it's your job to succeed. And if you're not succeeding, you'll get cut. We've seen many times in the past. For example, we were going to have an interview with a Philippine import. The list came out of who the imports were going to be, and within a week we had one set up. Well, within that week he was sent home because he wasn't performing. That was like a game or maybe two into the season, he was sent home immediately. Like, you're there to play basketball, you're there to succeed, you're there to win, and if you don't do that, you're going to be sent home. So not only do you need to be on it, on the ball 100% on the court, but you need to be on the ball off the court 100%. You need to be making choices every single place that you are while playing, or while overseas, to make sure that you are going to succeed on the court. Bottom line, everything you need to do needs to be done to succeed on the court if this is going to be your career. And in a city like Bangkok, who's pretty well known for their nightlife and other distractions, I can only imagine some of the issues that have happened in the past with athletes, and maybe not even severe, but to a point where they're distracted enough to where they can't focus off the court, which is making them struggle focusing on the court. And so that's one thing you got to make sure you're ready for as an athlete before you go anywhere, is that you have your priorities straight and realize that you're getting paid however much money. You're being given these apartments, transportation, food, whatever deals they're giving you. They're giving you this because they want you to play basketball and they want you to succeed. They're not doing this to give you a vacation. They're not doing this because they have extra money laying around. They're doing this because they want you to be on their team and they want you to succeed. They need you to succeed. And if you don't, you will be sent home. If you're distraction, or you're distracting yourself, you will be sent home. You are there as a basketball player or whatever sport. You're being paid to play and to win and to succeed, not to be distracting or distracted. And I think Chris talking about that was very important. That's not really something we've hit on too severely. And so I wanted to really make sure we reiterated that at the end. And I want to thank Chris for touching on that. The other one that I did mention in the interview, kind of reiterated, is when he said he's proud that his team pays checks on time. And so just to be clear, some of you listening who aren't familiar, there's a real issue with leagues in different sports. But you hear a lot in basketball just because there's so many international basketball players. There's a lot of issues with teams not paying. And they go through arbitration processes, and you can actually find all the claimed arbitrations on the FIBA basketball website where people are essentially suing or claiming misconduct by a team, usually because of pay. And you can read all these things where a player says he's not being paid or a promise wasn't met or whatever. This happens a lot. And to be a team that doesn't have those kind of blemishes is a really, really, really big deal. Because if you're offering the same amount of money or even less, but respectively close the amount of money to another team, but you don't have any blemishes, you're going to get that player. At least a good agent's going to give you that player because they want a team that pays, has a clean record, and is overall a good place for that player. And so to not have any blemishes of that nature and paying players on time, that's a really big, really big bonus that I wanted to make sure we had clear, that Chris should be proud of his team. And any of you getting a call or getting an option to play in a team, that's something you should always look at. I encourage you to look at the arbitration lists on the FIBA website to see if that team has had any issues. Or you can always check with us. If you don't know how to do that, send us a message at facebook.com/globallyballin or on the Instagram page at globallyballin. And we can check that for you and do some research on a specific team if you'd like. That's really important. I'm glad Chris talked about that. Those two things are very, very important. That being said, thank you all for listening. Thank you, Chris, again for your time. I appreciate it. Stay tuned. Next week will also be a basketball in Thailand as we talk to a player who's actually currently in Portugal but spent his first overseas time in Thailand. So thank you all. Talk to you next week. Thank you all for making it through another episode. A couple things I got a quick run through and then we'll be done. First, if you haven't already, go ahead and follow us on our different key platforms. First, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/globallyballin. Also, Instagram, at globallyballinofficial, and then Twitter, at globallyballin. The Instagram and Twitter are by far our most active, and they're also very different content. They're actually run by different people. So go ahead and make sure you're following both of those, and they'll also both alert you for when something new is posted either in the podcast or Patreon, which I'm going to talk about in just a second. Also, when it comes to the Facebook account seems less active, and we're aware of that. It's different kind of content and more is coming to the Facebook page, so you'll want to like it to make sure you're ready when a new wave of different content, which is coming soon, starts to make its way on there, which is exciting. Finally, though, is the Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com and then you search Globally Ball, and you're going to find our account. $3 a month, and with that, you're going to get a couple of things. First, shout out to all the supporters, which is great, which is actually also really good for any of you athletes out there. It's a great way to get your name, your brand, your place where people can find your highlight tapes, all that stuff. That'll be plugged in our episodes, which is great. So if you become a patron for the $3 a month, you'll get that. In addition, though, what we're really kind of excited about, not that we're not excited about the other one, is that you're going to get a bunch of extra content. It's going to be different from when I originally recorded this to when you're listening to this now. We're going to keep adding to it. There's a lot of different stuff. It might just be extra stuff that didn't fit into an episode. And there's also a whole new different kind of content called Candid Conversations, which is basically a whole new show that we started. As the name suggests, it's a conversation between me and somebody else. For whatever reason, it doesn't fit into an episode. And if you go check out one of those Candid Conversations, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So that $3 a month, you're going to get your shout out and your help to support your brand or get attention to your highlight reel or whatever, plus a lot of extra detailed, fun content in addition to this free podcast. So go and check that out. Refresher, find us on Facebook, facebook.com/globallyballin, Instagram at globallyballinofficial, Twitter at globallyballin, and Patreon, patreon.com/ or patreon.com/ search Globally Ballin', and you'll find do the $3 a month patron if you're interested and get all new content, a bunch of additional content. If that's not for you, totally fine. We still really appreciate you supporting and listening. If you have any suggestions, make sure you send us a message. Again, because we're most active on Instagram and Twitter, that's the best way to send us a suggestion. We'd be happy to listen and try to get anybody in that area and that sport, that country, that topic that'll help you best. So make sure you send us one of those requests. Otherwise, thank you again for listening. You'll hear from us again next week.